Okay, it is 9:06 a.m. on Friday, the 22nd of January, 2010. I am Anthony Camacho. I am the hearing officer with the OPA. This is the case of OPA-PA-09-012 in the appeal of Z4 Corporation. Will the members of the Office of Public Accountability that are here this morning please identify themselves for the record?
Doris Morris, public auditor.
Vince Nunez, auditor.
Ann Camacho, analyst.
Frank, nurse auditor.
Will the counsel for the appellant please identify himself and any institutional representatives that are with him today?
Aaron Jackson, representing Z4 Corporation, and there is no representative with Z4 present.
Thank you, Mr. Jackson. Will counsel for the purchasing agency please identify himself and any institutional representatives that are with him today?
Well, I'm not counsel for GSA, but I am counsel for Department of Education. Mr. Kono is actually the acting chief attorney. I'm sorry, Fred Nisha here, legal counsel, Department of Education.
Is there anybody here for GSA? Could you please identify yourself for the record? Mr. Kono, are you here in your capacity as counsel for GSA or just as a member of the GSA staff?
Just a representative for GSA.
Okay, thank you. Is there anybody else with you today?
Yes. With me is Laura Mooney. She's the attorney we just brought on board with the department. She's going through the process of being barred. I've asked her if she could come. Actually,
so she's here as an observer?
For today, but I've asked also Mr. Aaron if I need to be excused because I also have a restitution hearing at 9:30 that begins. However, I do anticipate as soon as Ms. Mooney is barred for her to be taking this case anyway. It's just if there is an objection, I'd like her to be the person representative of record, and as soon as she's barred, we'll enter her appearance as the attorney.
Okay, well, Mr. Mishihara, of course, under the professional rules, okay, governing the conduct of attorneys in this jurisdiction, Ms. Mooney, as she is not a licensed member of the bar, cannot sit as a attorney for DOE.
That's right.
Okay, so my understanding is that she's just here as an observer, is that correct?
Okay. Well, can I ask this? Yes, an observer, but as far as, like, can I delegate the full authority to calendar and so forth? That's my understanding.
No. Okay, we either need, is she an employee of DOE?
Yes.
Okay, maybe as an employee of DOE, but certainly not as an attorney.
Right, not as an attorney.
Of course, Ms. Mooney, when you're barred, then you can enter your appearance as an attorney, but no, for now, you're going to have to refrain from stating that you are the legal representative of DOE or the attorney for DOE, as that would be the unauthorized practice of law in this jurisdiction. Okay? Okay. So we, it's my understanding then that we're going to proceed with the purchasing agency appearing pro se.
Yes.
Okay.
For now.
Okay. Very well. Well, yeah, there's a slight issue here. My understanding is that the purchasing agency, or the agency that I guess made the decision that is appealed here, or which agency was that? Was it DOE or was it GSA?
We DOE made the final decision, so in consultation. So basically, our position is one and the same. We don't have living opinions, so to say.
Okay, but who is the procurement officer in this matter?
The person? GSA.
Okay, so GSA is in fact a purchasing agency, would that be correct?
That's correct.
And DOE then would be more of an interested party?
That's correct.
Okay, then you need to properly enter your appearance as an interested party, Mr. Michahara.
Well, this one's kind of a strange fellow, because the initial bid went out under DOE, and it was in the transition that we moved it over to GSA. So that's why it's kind of both. It really is. This is probably the one case that you have that. It was during the transition we moved over. In fact, there was an initial award and a second award. The initial award was with DOE, the second award with GSA. So we're not just an interested in that sense.
You're also the purchasing agency?
Yeah.
Okay.
Right.
Is that correct, Mr. Jackson?
That's my understanding of this matter. Originally, the GDOE made the decision, and then it was transferred, and then GSA reversed and issued their own decision. So technically, well, we are seeking an appeal of a GSA decision and affirming a prior decision of the GDOE.
Okay, but they made that decision as a procurement officer at the time, is that correct?
That's correct.
All right, okay, so then the purchasing agencies would be DOE and GSA. The parties in agreement on that then?
Yes.
Mr. Jackson?
We agree with that.
Okay. Mr. Kono?
Yes,
you've been silent here. Do you agree with that assessment? Or?
Well, I'd like to go back a bit on the whether or not we're appearing as per se, because in our memorandum in response to one of your inquiries earlier, we did indicate that DOE was going to counsel for this matter. And so I'm wondering, is this all of a sudden changed?
And I have no problem doing that too.
Okay, so I'm just trying to understand this rather unusually complex situation on your side, Mr. Kono, Mr. Michahara. Okay. All right. Before we begin the hearing, do we have any preliminary issues that we need to take care of?
I will be
off on
next week, so
if you want to
hold it
that
soon.
Okay. All right.
Well, that's my only.
Okay, we'll get to that in a minute. Going down the list of issues that we're going to pick up at this hearing pursuant to the January 13, 2010 notice of pre-hearing conference. In terms of expediting the disposition of the appeal, okay, I believe that both parties have made all their statutory filings, is that correct? The agency report, the comment on the agency report, the reply to the comment, have all the parties done that?
Yes.
Okay, Mr. Jackson, you had ample opportunity. Did you receive a copy of the procurement record in this matter?
Yes, I have.
Okay, are there any issues with the procurement record or any of the filings that were made?
Not at this time.
Is that correct, Mr. Michahara? Okay. Then do the parties, I believe Mr. Jackson, it was your client that had requested a hearing in this matter, is that correct?
That's correct.
And do the parties still desire to have a hearing in this matter? You do have the option to have the public auditor review your filings and issue a decision based on the filings, which the parties prefer. If you still persist, Mr. Jackson, with having your hearing, we certainly will have the hearing. Okay, but you still have the option of withdrawing that request for hearing and having the public auditor issue a decision based on the filings in the matter.
At this point, I believe that it would be best to have the hearing, but perhaps I can speak with my client to see if they wish to go ahead and submit on the briefs, if we could have
we could possibly set the hearing, and then within like a week we could come back and waive the hearing and submit on the briefs if that would be...
Yeah, you can enter the stipulation, okay, but once I start getting the hearing process going, it would be through stipulation and a withdrawal of your hearing request, and just have both parties agree to decide on the case. Mr. Mishihara, did the purchasing agency desire to have a hearing in this matter?
I think we prefer to have a hearing.
Prefer to have a hearing? Okay, but nevertheless, same thing applies. Through a stipulation, okay? We could, or the parties could agree to have the OPA issue a decision based on the filings. Okay, so then on the briefs, basically, it would just take a stipulation between the parties. But today, then, we will proceed with scheduling a hearing in this matter. And the first issue, then, would be, have the parties attempted to formulate and simplify the issues in this matter?
That's correct, and through the briefing, I think we've identified the issues, and I went over the list, and I went through the briefs, and at this point, I'm not sure that we could simplify the issues anymore. I think they've been recognized and identified.
Okay, and have the parties work together to try to obtain admissions of facts and documents that will avoid unnecessary proof or stipulations regarding the authenticity of documents in advance? Have the parties attempted to do anything like that?
No, not at this time.
Okay. How long will the parties need to develop their exhibit lists?
A week or two.
Okay, now keep in mind that everything you've filed is part of the record in the matter.
Right?
When I talk about exhibits, these are exhibits that if you are going to issue or if you are going to show a witness a document, okay, that is what I'm talking about, you know, the exhibits that you'll actually use during the hearing. You need not refile voluminous documents, okay, that have already been filed. Exhibits in this case are just the exhibits you intend to show any of the witnesses in the matter, okay? As the, we would need one copy, and that of course would stay with the transcript in case this matter is appealed by the party, very similar to a deposition, okay, where you have the transcript and whatever exhibits are shown to the witness, those are the exhibits I'm talking about. How long would it take the parties to prepare their exhibit list?
We certainly put together
more than
a week. 1 week.
Well, before we do that, let's back up. When are the parties available to have a hearing? Would the 12th of February be sufficient time for the parties to prepare?
February 12th would work for all nine.
Is it possible to have it slightly later? What I'd like to do is have our
Okay. Then would the 22nd of February be sufficient for the parties?
I believe so.
Okay. So we're going to... So then we're going to schedule a hearing for February the 22nd. It's a Monday. At 9 a.m. We're going to have to get back with the parties to verify the availability of the room that we're going to have the hearing in. Just so you know, we have been using the sixth floor conference room at this. Unfortunately, that room will be under renovation, and I think they're breaking up that and dismantled, so that will no longer be available to us. It'll either be in this room or some similar space. So we'll get back to the actual room, but it'll be on the 22nd of February. Okay, so you say would the parties then have their exhibit list and their witness list available by February the 1st?
That's the day I arrived, so so we have maybe the end of the week, so I could have the opportunity to go to the gym.
February 5th? Okay. So that'll be the deadline to file the exhibit list. Your witness list. In terms of the other two things I usually require are statement of the issues, okay? And this is a brief summary of what the parties believe the issues are, okay? And a hearing brief, and that's just a summary of what the parties, of what you feel the issues, or what you feel the evidence in this case, or how the parties feel those issues should be resolved and why. Okay, when I say brief summary, that's all I require, okay? So would that be sufficient time for the parties to develop their hearing briefs and their list of issues?
I believe so.
Okay.
Also on the 5th?
Also on the 5th, yes. I want to give the parties ample time to review that before we go into the hearing.
All right. Just one clarification.
Yes. You don't need to refile the whole procurement record. Okay, we don't need that. The purpose of this, once again, but everything you file, the procurement record, they all will be considered. You certainly could, in your hearing briefs, quote things you already filed. When I say the exhibit list, those are the exhibits you plan on actually having a witness review and testify about.
So if it's within that agency file that was submitted,
yes.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, if you're actually planning on, here witness, can you please review this document and testify about that document? The witness is going to handle that document during that witness's testimony. Those are the exhibit lists that we're talking about. Okay.
Also, just remind you, because it's a party meal, I know this might be a little bit late, but is it possible to have it?
I don't want to do it too much.
Mr. Fauci's off island right now for medical. We don't know for sure. We think the husband's supposed to have something done 2 weeks after surgery, and the surgery was yesterday.
Uh-huh.
So we don't know if they'll be able to come back by the 4th.
Is it possible to do the following Friday? Would that be too late for, which is the 12th of February? Because certainly, because of the nature of this particular case, the project more than likely would be one of our key would be as exactly. In addition to having a review of this, it's certainly sitting down with her.
Well, that's still a couple weeks from the actual hearing on the 22nd. Mr. Jackson, any objection to that request?
We'll defer to your scheduling.
Okay. So then we'll move the deadline to file the exhibit list, the witness list, the statement of issues, and then the hearing brief to the 12th of February. I will be issuing a scheduling order after this hearing with these dates. Okay. Do the parties require any advance rulings from me on the admissibility of any evidence in this matter prior to the hearing?
As Z4 is requiring to me.
Okay. Do the parties have any motions that they feel need to be made prior to the hearing in this matter?
Not this time.
Okay. Well, nevertheless, would the 12th of February also be okay for a motion deadline? Okay. If there are any motions filed, of course, the first matter that we will take up the day of the hearing will be those motions. Okay. If the parties feel that 12th February is, there's already a lot of deadlines there, you could have another motion cutoff date. It's up to the parties. If 12th February is good, then okay. Speaking of, we've already covered this. Speaking of motions, are there any pending motions the parties have made? I didn't see any. Okay.
No.
Now, is there any need for adopting any special procedures for managing potentially difficult or protracted actions, complex issues, multiple parties, or any unusual proof problems that I need to address at this time?
I don't think so. Well, we have
access to multiple things if we wanted to. I used
Could you please speak into the mic there, Mr. Sharon?
Would there be available a projector and a laptop so we can make presentations on the board as well?
We have a projector and our own laptop.
We can bring a laptop, that's fine.
Yes, we can make those available. Just let us know a few days ahead of schedule. The problem with because the room is not as big as the other one, is where to put it, but other than that, yeah.
Okay.
Any objections to the request for a laptop and a projector for a slide presentation?
No, I believe that we may also wish to make a presentation.
All right. So that'll be one for us. Now, the schedule for the actual hearing, I think some of you may have actually appeared before a hearing in the past, but generally it should be no surprise to the parties. The hearing will begin with the opening statements of the parties. It will begin with the appellant first, as you have the burden of going forward. It will be followed by the opening statement of the purchasing agency. Then it will be followed by appellant's case in chief. Followed by the purchasing agency's case in chief. That will be followed by the appellant's closing statement. That will be followed by the purchasing agency's closing statement. And then finally, the appellant, you will have, if you want, the opportunity for rebuttal argument, and that will be the end of the hearing. Okay? So that is the way we will proceed. And of course, before, if any motions are filed, we will take those motions up first. Okay, and then go right into the hearing. Yes?
I'm sorry, is there any time limitations on the opening and closing?
Not necessarily, but if you start going in past 10 or 20 minutes, I might be cautioning you. Okay? So on and so forth. But normally, 10 to 15 minutes, albeit I haven't had a problem with anybody's opening statements yet, so I haven't imposed a time limit per se. Okay? But I Please understand that we don't have, I mean, these rooms are used obviously by other agencies, okay? And we try to efficiently, okay, encourage the parties to efficiently present their cases. But I normally don't impose time limits, okay? But if it goes unreasonably long, I will.
Well, the only reason I raise it is to see if you've got a time limit.
I don't think it'll probably be similar to that. I haven't seen, you know, like I said, usually the average is 10 or 15 minutes, okay? 15 minutes being the longer ones, typically, okay? The parties have any problem with that? Or
no.
So I'm just going to state the order. I'm not going to impose a time limit at this time, okay? Are there any matters that may facilitate the just, speedy, and inexpensive disposition of the action the parties wish to discuss at this time?
No, we don't.
Could you please talk to anybody?
No.
And do any of the party or any of the parties aware of any persons who will be attending the hearings that or the hearing in this matter that may require any special accommodations, auxiliary aids, or services so that they may attend or participate in the hearing?
No, we don't. No, we don't.
Okay. Then I will issue the scheduling order and the formal notice of the hearing. Probably today or by Monday, okay?
You know, I just need one clarification. We only got one date, the 22nd. Is that...
9 a.m.
Is it going to be you're anticipating a one-day hearing?
Well, if we normally go as long as we can.
Okay.
If we need to go beyond that, if it's going to be a two-day hearing...
James King was the only one that really ended up being
several days.
Three days, and the JFK second was only one day.
Yeah.
So that's why we try to have it at 9 so that we could, you know, to try to finish in one day.
And normally I would agree, just only because that transition occurred and,
yeah.
You know, there's, they were...
So you might have anticipated my pick the next day?
Right.
We'll ask accordingly for the room.
Does it also depend on the
availability
of the room?
No, we're not
going to
make that a stipulation.
Yeah, that's not an issue.
Well,
we can find
problem.
The space.
That's our problem.
Okay.
Yeah, but if we need to go beyond that one day, I'm also available on the 23rd.
Okay. Okay.
And then possibly the 24th, albeit Ms. Mooney, that is the day of the next Guam Bar examination, though. I don't know if you're taking it.
That would be a screening study.
That's the day. Okay. All right. But we'll cross that bridge when we get to the actual hearing date. Unless the parties want us to reschedule. If you know you're going to go beyond one day, you want to schedule for 9 a.m. on the 23rd as well?
Fine, thank you.
Okay, so 22nd and 23rd. Are there any other matters that the parties feel need to be taken up at this time?
No.
Okay. Then I will issue a order covering all these dates issued, and this hearing is adjourned. Thank you.